Imagination is pastoral. Imagination is prophetic. Imagination is spiritual. Who here has read the book It by Stephen King? Anybody? Oh, one in the back. All right. Oh, over here. All right. Awesome. So It is one of my favorite books that I've ever read. It's the story of a group of children who take it upon themselves to go toe-to-toe with an ancient and unimaginable evil. An evil that doesn't just take the form of scary monsters or a creepy clown, but which is infused with the town and its people, often manifesting in violent racism, misogyny, and homophobia. And the more I read of it, the more I started to feel this sense that our world has its own it lurking beneath its surface, born of the original sins of colonization, domination, and oppression, absorbed into the very air we breathe, the water we drink, and the ground we live off of. From the Trail of Tears and the Southern Plantations all the way to Standing Rock and Mike Brown. From the Salem Witch Trials all the way to Ted Bundy, all the way to Matthew Shepard, all the way to Columbine, Sandy Hook, and Parkland, all the way to Dayton and El Paso and Gilroy. And we cry out in vain, when will it all end? In King's novel, It preys on the most terrible imagination of all, fear. It uses that fear to control people into doing terrible things to one another, or even just looking the other way. But because it feeds on imagination, that also makes it especially vulnerable to imagination. And I think the it in our world is the same way. I think when we imagine our world as it could be, we can do real lasting damage to the structures of violence and dehumanization that our world has been built on. Imagination is an extraordinarily powerful thing, but I believe that it is even more powerful than we realize. I believe that human beings have only scratched the surface of the ways in which we have the power to create and shape our reality through the power of imagination. Imagination is pastoral. Imagination is prophetic. But most of all, imagination is a spiritual practice and a theological act. It connects us with the creative powers of all existence as we co-create our universe together. So I guess it's no surprise then that so much of my theology comes from so many of the fictional stories that I live and breathe. All of the stories we tell matter, whether they're real or not. Because not only do they tell us profound things about who we are as human beings, but they shape us and our world in unimaginable ways. The Golden Key was one of the first fantasy stories ever written. Published in 1867 in England, it tells the story of two children who find a golden key in the forest and their quest to find the door it unlocks. The golden key is a metaphor for unlocking and awakening of the childhood imagination, but it also has a little bit of a dark side. In 19th century England, the Industrial Revolution was just beginning to take off. And because labor laws were let's just say, not what they are today, society was just beginning to grapple with a rise in childhood mortality. What was behind that door wasn't just the wonders of the imagination. It was heaven. The golden key, like so many of our most beloved scriptures of our world's religions, is in some ways a grappling with death, a way of making meaning of our own mortality in a world that forces us to confront that mortality and won't allow us to look away. In the Bible, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." It's not just prophetic, it's pastoral. Tending to the deep, dark fears and doubts that define our lives. Imagination is pastoral. It gives us hope when hope is hard to find and makes us feel seen, heard, and understood. I know the first time I saw the Disney Pixar movie Inside Out, I cried at how much it made me, as a person living with chronic mental illness, feel like someone out there understood. That someone cared about telling the world a story about someone like me, so that maybe the world would understand me just a little bit better. In the movie Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, one of the main characters is played by a Mexican actor named Diego Luna. And not long after the movie came out, Luna shared a story from a fan who took his father to see the movie because he wanted his father, with his thick Mexican accent, to see someone on screen who speaks like him. "When the film was over," he writes, "and we were walking to the car, my father turns to me and says, 'Did you notice that he had an accent?' And I said, 'Yeah, Dad, just like yours.' He then asked me why Diego Luna hadn't changed his accent. And I told him that Diego has openly talked about keeping his accent and how proud he is of it. And my dad was silent for a while. And then he said, 'And he was a main character.' And I said, 'He was.' And my dad was so happy. As we drove home, he started telling me about other Mexican actors that he thinks should be in movies in America. Representation matters." End quote. Another story from an anonymous internet user who writes, "I took my little brother, who falls on the autism spectrum, to see Guardians of the Galaxy. And after one particular scene, he lit up like a Christmas tree. And he screamed, 'He's like me. He can't do metaphors.' And for the rest of the film, my brother stared at Drax in a state of rapture." Now, I'm not saying that Drax the Destroyer is or was ever intended to be autistic. All I am saying is that it warmed my heart to see my brother have an opportunity to identify himself with a character known for his strength, badassness, and honor. And that is pretty awesome. So while I adored Guardians of the Galaxy as a great, fun-loving film with cool characters, I can do nothing but thank Marvel Studios and Dave Bautista for finally bringing a superhero to the screen that my little brother can relate to." End of quote. And speaking of Dave Bautista, it just so happens that yours truly is a huge fan of professional wrestling. Yeah. And trust me, I am very much aware of all the ways that wrestling has been and continues to be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, and problematic in any number of other ways. But here's what else I know. I also know that this past April, for the first time in the 34-year history of WrestleMania, a women's wrestling match was the main event. At that same WrestleMania, a black man from Ghana, who has paid his dues for 11 years, making sacrifice after sacrifice and getting passed up time and time again for opportunities because he wasn't championship material. A man who 5 years ago joined a team with two other black wrestlers under the premise that, quote, if we stick together, there's no limit to what we can accomplish. A man who just a few weeks before WrestleMania went on national television and told the owner of WWE to his face that he has never allowed, quote, someone like me to succeed. That man became the first ever 100% black WWE champion and the second black WWE champion ever. The first was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who is half black and half Samoan. Just to give you an idea of how hard it has been for even a half black man to become champion, you had to be The Rock. Imagination is prophetic. In my dorm, I have a bookshelf that I call my book altar. The books on this shelf, more than anything, form the foundations of my theology and my values. Harry Potter and the Hunger Games, books by Afrofuturism pioneers Nnedi Okorafor and N.K. Jemisin and Octavia Butler and Toni Morrison, may she rest in peace. And it goes beyond books, even. The West Wing as a moral and theological masterpiece, Star Wars as a portrait of resistance and the politics of theater wars and the dangers of dogma and lust for power. Star Trek Deep Space Nine as a meditation on the intersections of religion and politics and a commentary on the geopolitics of occupation. I could go on and on and on. Believe me. Imagination is pastoral. Imagination is prophetic. But more than anything else, I believe imagination is spiritual. It's theology. It gives us hope. It inspires us. It forms our world. Nothing that the human race has ever done could have been done without imagination. In fact, I believe nothing that exists would exist without imagination. It is the stuff that binds the universe together. It is the golden key that unlocks the door to the infinite reaches of the imagination. I've told you all about quite a few of mine. What is your golden key?